Welcome back.
Welcome back to the second hour of today's Rogue Warrior Radio broadcast. This Monday, September 19th, 2016, a week and a day after the 15th anniversary of September 11th, 2001, and we're reflecting today on the numerous incidents across the land that occurred over the weekend, and the implications, what they portend, and how really, in my humble opinion, they dovetail with an effort to, a continual effort to inure and psychologically injure the American people. It's interesting, the latest revelation in the case involving the suspect, Ahmad Khan Rahmani, in the New York bombings this weekend. Latest development is that he was captured after a shootout that reportedly injured the suspect and officers. But there are a number of provocative elements in that story. They all really smack of the FBI's fabrication of terror plots and so forth. One of the provocative coincidences in the story, Elizabeth Mayer Chris Bowlidge said the family, Rahmani's family, had owned and operated its business, First American Fried Chicken, and lived above the Modest Shop on Elmore Avenue, New Jersey, since 2002. The mayor spoke about how the chicken store had faced complaints and problems in 2012, and when the city council and police enforced that it close at 10 p.m., he acknowledged that Rahmani's Muslim faith was mentioned repeatedly by Rahmani in complaints about city authorities. He brought up his faith in the lawsuit. He brought up his faith in conversations with city officials. But the complaint had nothing to do with ethnicity or religious beliefs. It had to do with a lot of people hanging out in front of the store at all hours, as well as congregating and code enforcement problems, said Bowlidge. And so this Modest Shop, as The Guardian puts it in their story today, reminds one, I think, of the Intercept story I've mentioned in the past. ISIS in America, 9 lost souls the FBI charged as terrorists while letting the Orlando shooter go. And all of these people are known wolves. The FBI always knows. I haven't seen the story yet that the FBI knew about Ahmad Khan Rahmani. I think in a Washington, Washington Post story, I want to say, they were investigating. But that will probably come to light at sometime soon if it has not already. I haven't seen that, but I wouldn't be surprised if the FBI, I think, is having trouble admitting that it was investigating these people, because it's always found that they're not investigating, they're creating what they call terrorists, inventing terrorists as the Project Salaam study titled it. Or as the New York Times, the 2012 New York Times article put it, terrorist plots hatched by the FBI. This is what happens. So in the Intercept article, ISIS in America, 9 lost souls the FBI charged as terrorists while letting the Orlando shooter go, one of the stories mentioned, the first story in fact, was about Mufid Elfji. Remember Mufid Elfji? The 30-year-old guy who spent his day working in a pizzeria in a bleak industrial area in Rochester, New York, living in a small attic above his business. He lived alone in the United States since age 14 after his father left the country for Yemen. These people are usually, they have a weak psychological constitution. They're troubled. This is not uncommon. You see this kind of scenario. Elf G was described by those who knew him as a difficult emotional man with few real friends by the time of his arrest. The informants in the case had become the people he spent the most time with. The most free time, that is. In conversations with informants, he mused about shooting soldiers and offered them help to travel to Syria with the aid of his online contacts. So he didn't engage in any criminal activity. He talked about stuff. After, on May 31st, 2014, after his new friend successfully set up a gun deal for him, Elf G was arrested. His informant friends, his FBI informant friends. Does anyone else see the oxymoronic implications there? So after being set up by the FBI, by low-level informants, it's so preposterous. It reminds one of just ridiculous, cartoonish narratives like Starsky and Hutch. Is there a Huggy Bear somewhere in this story? Because it's just that laughable and absurd. It would be laughable if it weren't so tragic. So, what happened to Mufid Elf G? Well, he's now serving a 22-year sentence for material support of terrorism. He didn't do anything. His sentence is the longest given to anyone convicted of supporting ISIS in the United States. He didn't do anything. He didn't shoot anyone. He didn't blow anything up. He had some views. The FBI is masterful at creating, inventing, manufacturing, fabricating, hatching terrorists and terrorist plots. You read some of these stories and it's just ridiculous. I'll give you the Washington Post story as an example. And from the Washington Post story, by the way, this story published earlier today titled "Police Connect New York, New Jersey Bombing, Seek Same Man for Questioning in Both." Some of the interesting sound bites from these stories. I mentioned, you know, 1,000 Governor Cuomo, New York's Governor Cuomo said early yesterday, nearly 1,000 police officers and National Guard troops would be sent to bus stops, train stations, and airports as investigators with the New York Police Department, the FBI, and the BATFE work to identify the person or people responsible for the explosion. Nearly 1,000. This is what's happening. Look at the ratcheting up of the police state, the militarized response, police and National Guard troops. They're looking for one guy. Does this not seem like is there not a disparity here? The asymmetric warfare that's being applied, this is kind of in reverse fashion, but this is a heavy-handed approach. The militarizing of, New York, essentially, and New Jersey. That's what happens. This is what happens. It's always a pretext and justification for this kind of ratcheting up of the police state. The Washington Post story says each incident in its own right raised the possibility of terrorist connections, prompting federal and local law enforcement to pour major resources into determining exactly what happened and why. Officials said they were looking aggressively for links in the New York and New Jersey cases. Well, as we go through some of the facts here in a moment, and by the way, the phone lines are open if you want to comment on this. 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. The 800 line or lines are back up. So as we go through the facts so far that have come to light, this latest episode and the St. Cloud stabbing episode, they don't sound like genuine, organic instances of radicalized folks. They sound like the same old manufactured incidents. They bear striking similarities. And there is this element of ambiguity and plausible deniability in all of these stories. It's bizarre. You read the stories, I don't know if you read these stories the same way I do, but the way that they are worded, the way that things are phrased, there is this level of ambiguity that seems to be maintained. Why is that? Is this journalism? Don't we want to get to the bottom of things? Each incident in its own right raised the possibility of terrorist connection, prompting federal and local law enforcement to pour major resources into determining exactly what happened and why. Officials said they were looking aggressively for links. They're looking aggressively for links in the New York and New Jersey cases. Well, chances are they're going to find something. But as I said in the first hour, if they're looking aggressively for links, they should probably start at Quantico, Virginia. That'd be a good place to start. So a couple of just some provocative excerpts from the Washington Post story. And all of the stories bear the same similarities, I would say, in the ambiguity. And again, based largely on the Project Salaam study titled Inventing Terrorists, the Lawfare of Preemptive Prosecution, which proved that nearly 9.5, more than 9 out of 10 of the DOJ prosecutions involved elements of the FBI foiling its own entrapment plots or the government arresting people on material support for terrorism charges that effectively criminalize innocent conduct. I just mentioned one of those stories, the story of Mufid Elfji. That's a perfect example of one of those. There are so many of these stories, it's unbelievable. I mentioned the other Intercept article, The Sting, How the FBI Created a Terrorist, the story of Sammy Osmakic, and how the FBI provided all of the, as the Intercept article points out, Osmakic was the target of an elaborately orchestrated FBI sting that involved a paid informant as well as FBI agents and support staff working on the setup for more than 3 months. The FBI provided all the weapons seen in Osmakic's martyrdom video. The Bureau also gave Osmakic the car bomb he allegedly planned to detonate and even money for a taxi so he could get to where the FBI needed him to go. Osmakic was a deeply disturbed young man, according to several of the psychiatrists and psychologists who examined him before trial. He became a terrorist, quote-unquote, only after the FBI provided the means, opportunity, and final prodding necessary to make him one. From that Intercept article, continuing, since the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the FBI has arrested dozens of young men like Osmakic in controversial counterterrorism stings. One recent case involved a rudderless 20-year-old in Cincinnati, Ohio, named Christopher Cornell, who conspired with an FBI informant, as always, seeking favorable treatment, quote-unquote, for his own criminal exposure, quote-unquote, in a harebrained plot to build pipe bombs and attack Capitol Hill. And just last month, this was February 2015, last year. The FBI arrested and charged two Brooklyn men for plotting with the aid of a paid informant, again, as is always the case, to travel to Syria and join the Islamic State. The likelihood that the men would have stepped foot in Syria of their own accord seems low. Only after they met the informant who helped with travel applications and other hurdles did they plan, did their plan take shape. Informant-led sting operations are central to the FBI's counterterrorism program. Of 508 defendants prosecuted in federal terrorism-related cases in the decade after 9/11, 243 were involved with an FBI informant, while 158 were the targets of sting operations. Of those cases, an informant or FBI undercover operative led 49 defendants in their terrorism plots, similar to the way Osmakic was led in his. In these cases, the FBI says paid informants and undercover agents are foiling attacks before they occur. But the evidence suggests, in a recent Human Rights Watch report, which also cited the Project Salaam study information, by the way, on the subject, illustrates that the FBI isn't always nabbing would-be terrorists so much as setting up mentally ill or economically desperate people to commit crimes they could never have accomplished on their own. At least in Osmakic's case, FBI agents seem to agree with that criticism, though they never intended for that admission to become public. In the Osmakic sting, the undercover FBI agent went by the pseudonym Amir Jones. He's the guy behind the camera in Osmakic's martyrdom video. Amir, posing as a dealer who could provide weapons, wore a hidden recording device throughout the sting. The device picked up conversations, including apparently back at the FBI's Tampa field office, a gated compound beneath the flight path of Tampa International Airport, among agents and employees who assumed their words were private and protected. These unintentional recordings offer an exclusive look inside an FBI counterterrorism sting and suggest that, even in the eyes of the FBI agents involved, these stings target the sting targets aren't always the threatening figures they are made out to be. We should play that clip, actually. It's unbelievable. And this is what happens. So, when we look at the incidents that took place over the weekend, they bear striking similarity to some of the stories that I've mentioned during today's broadcast. The FBI manufacturing terrorists like Sami Osmakic or Mohammed Mahmoud, the Pioneer Square bomber, or James Cromedy and his three hapless would-be accomplices, speaking of New York. Cromedy recruited by an FBI informant to bomb mosques, but he said, you know, I don't want to do it. And the informant said, well, I'll give you $250 million. And Cromedy said, well, shoot, I just lost my job at Walmart. I need some money. Sure. Sounds good. Moral of the story is if you happen to meet someone at a chance encounter in a mosque parking lot and they start suddenly suggest you bomb a place with Stinger missiles, chances are it's the FBI.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Welcome back. You know, I just had a thought. What would happen? And I might actually try this. I'm serious. You know, what can we do as people to band together in opposition to this kind of nonsense, what I'm talking about? And obviously, today's broadcast really... I will admit, is largely conjectural on my part. I'm drawing conclusions and speculating, but the overwhelming body of evidence seems to support my conclusions. That being that the incidents that were reported over the weekend, the explosion, the stabbing, all of these incidents smack of FBI counterterrorism efforts creating would-be terrorists. And there's also the element of, you know, when you look at the Orlando shooter and some of these other incidents, there's also the element or, you know, Cromedy, Muhammad, the pioneer square bomber, these kinds of folks, there's also the element of the FBI providing its imam or some other informant through the mosques, you know, FBI-sanctioned mosques, essentially. And then there is the aspect of the Saudi dollars in particular and others, but predominantly Saudi billionaires funding some of these mosques and funds being funneled in from outside external sources outside the U.S. to create these mosques. FBI informants used as plants, as imams, and so forth. This is a growing issue. I've mentioned the story about the Saudi billionaire granting, giving Yale Law School a $10 million grant for Islamic studies, which is not Islamic studies. I think that would be fine. You know, Jefferson and Adams thought it was important enough to get knowledge up, so to speak. What is the deal? What are these people? What are their beliefs? Why not be informed? Why not be informed instead of act like ignorant fools bantering about things we don't know? Why not get informed? So the $10 million grant to Yale Law School for Islamic studies was not for Islamic studies. It's for Wahhabist and Salafist studies. And when you talk to mainstream Muslims, they will almost, without exception, all say, whoa, those people are not us, and we're not them. They don't represent our way of thinking. And that is actually, I saw one of the stories that I read, I think it was a CNN story, in this latest round of nonsense. CNN story. ISIS wing claims responsibility for Minnesota mall attacks, suspect ID'd. In that story, CNN story, that included remarks from Lil Hersey, who stood outside the Crossroads Mall, as the CNN story says, waiting to find out if her son was among the victims of the man an ISIS-linked news agency praised for as a soldier of the Islamic State. So the CNN story says, fear washed over the Somali-American mother, not just for her son's well-being, but also because of the potential backlash against her community. This has been a dark day. It is a day we will never forget, she said. ISIS does not represent us. It does not represent Islam. And it does not represent Somalis. And she's right, but do people understand this? No. So I have an idea. I'll tell you about it when we come back at the bottom of the hour after this break, and we'll go to the phones after that. Stick with me.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, I'll make you a deal. Give me 60 seconds and I'll give you directions to the Fountain of Youth. Okay, I'm joking. Well, what kind of joking? No fountains, but youth, I got Nature's Youth and their premier anti-aging product, Nature's Youth RSF. With your sensible diet and exercise plan, Nature's Youth RSF can help you look and feel better. RSF is an all-natural amino acid supplement that supports your body to naturally increase HGH levels without any synthetic hormones. And elevated HGH levels can contribute to increased energy, improved libido, reduced body fat, and improved exercise capacity. Let's be honest, who doesn't want to look and feel younger? Visit the newly designed website at naturesyou.com or call 800-333-6923. That's 800-333-6923 and like them on Facebook and you'll be included in contest and exclusive offers. What a deal. Oh, speaking of deals, my time's about up. 800-333-6923 or naturesyou.com. Who needs a fountain anyway? Call today.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Baiano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone. All alone in a time of need.
All right, welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior video broadcast is Monday, September 19th, 2016. Calls are starting to stack up, so let's just get it, get this little point out of the way and get to the phones. Here's my idea. What if we started, someone started creating a pamphlet or something that basically talked about what I'm discussing on today's broadcast and what I feel like I have discussed ad nauseum, the FBI in particular's invention of terrorists here at home and the CIA's invention of terrorists abroad. What if we circulated those kinds of pamphlets at mosques around the country? Can you imagine the kind of unification and support and solidarity? I don't like that word, but if we're going to use that word, can you imagine the kind of solidarity and unification that would create? Speaking of the lady that I mentioned, Lowell Hersey, the CNN story concluded with her words. And she said, as quoted in the CNN article, Let us unite as one Minnesota. Please let's spread love instead of hate. Can you imagine if you circulated in these communities, these Muslim communities and mosques and so forth, brochures that said, listen, we understand, I understand that the FBI is masterful at inventing, fabricating, manufacturing terrorists and terrorist plots, that the vast majority of what we see and hear purported as terrorism is really an invention of the intelligence community. And beyond that, the CIA has been doing this masterfully abroad for decades now. So we understand that, and that's the first place that we look. Just so you know, that's the first place I look. I always look to the FBI first. Can you imagine what a sigh of relief these people would have? Ugh, they're trying to understand. They understand that. And then there would be information circulating that they probably didn't even know or were aware of. And that would be something they would be watchful of and mindful of in their communities. Is this happening in our mosque? And they would self-police, so to speak. Can you imagine? That's my idea. And honestly, it was just kind of a rhetorical musing. But I'm thinking I might do it. So that's just my thought. So with that, let's go to the phones real quick and grab Caesar in New York. Caesar, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, how are you today?
Good, thank you. Thanks for your call.
Good to hear. So you're saying this is the same of the same. It's an inside, another inside job, maybe Operation Gladio, right?
Gladio B, yeah, that's what it looks like to me, all of the incidents that we've seen, yep.
How long do you think this is going to last? I mean, how much longer can they continue doing this? And why are the people in law enforcement that know that this is taking place? Because if we're laymen and we know, why don't they do something to stop it? I mean, it seems like Colonel, rest in peace, Don the Grand Prix, the barbarians are inside the gates.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the people are so gelded and inert and ignorant, uninformed. It will continue in perpetuity until we become informed and, I don't know, start doing something different, you know, like I mused just before your call.
Well, the country's going down, right? We're going to go down. We're going to hell, right?
It would seem, unless we do something to alter that course, yep.
Yeah, that's where we're going. And it seems like there's no end to this. It seems like this is from the inside, the threat, not from the outside. And no one is standing up to it. And it just, since 9/11, this has been, who was it that said, what's his name, Gary? He said he was before Congress. He said that more Americans would die on American soil. I forgot what his last name was, Gary something.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
What do you think? What's your take? How much longer can this go on? How much more of this can we take?
Well, I would like to think that we as Americans have some resolve and we are not, I think it was Gary Hart, wasn't it? Was it Gary Hart?
Yeah, Gary Hart. That's who it was, Gary Hart.
Yeah. Gary, I would like to think, I'd like to think that we have the resolve to do something, you know, like what I was saying. See, we need to become better informed. I think if there was a general consensus that we all understood the intelligence community has been doing this, it's a fact. Not only is it a fact, but it's also a fact that in the vast majority of cases, the intelligence community is involved, whether at home or abroad, in manufacturing what is called terrorism. And one of the points I was going to get to in the Washington Post story was, I think, a quote from Governor Cuomo about, you know, whether or not we call it terrorism is kind of subjective because we have to define terms and agree on what constitutes terrorism, which is an interesting little soundbite, which gets back to my point earlier about the ambiguity in these stories. And so there's always this morphing and fluid. There's always this fluid aspect to these stories, to these narratives. It's always in flux. There's ambiguity involved and plausible deniability, which is also an intelligence community term. So if there was a general consensus that we all understood that we should look there first, I think there would be some self-policing. I think the intelligence community would change, but I don't think you can prune a bad tree. A tree that bears bad fruit just needs to be uprooted. And, you know, like I said, policing in these communities, if people understood in the Islamic communities, for example, that the FBI has, in fact, in the vast majority of cases where we hear about terrorism, manufactured these deals, these incidents, then they would be more watchful and mindful of that themselves. And if they felt like there was support from the broader community in those efforts, wouldn't that draw down the insanity? It seems to me it would. And the hysteria. So I think, you know, we need to get educated. Jefferson echoed the sentiment of not worrying about foreign danger as much as, you know, the danger from within in his first inaugural address. I mentioned that last week. And Lincoln's Lyceum address is kind of well known for the same sentiments. Danger from abroad is not where we should look, as Lincoln put it. If it ever reaches us, it must spring up amongst us. So your point is well observed. From within, it cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, Lincoln said, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. So I think that's definitely the issue. And these are perilous times, and they call for action on the part of each one of us. So I hope it doesn't last any longer. I hope we get a stomach full of this. It's high time we started trying to create an ideological shift in America to help folks understand, before we're all balkanized, that these things don't happen by accident. And whether someone is genuinely and authentically a self-radicalized terrorist or a known wolf, as Patrick Henningsen over at 21st Century Wire puts it, which I think is apt, either way, the intelligence community is the larger provocateur in virtually all of these cases. ISIS is the grandchild of the Mujahideen, essentially. And the godfather of all of those organizations is the CIA. So that's the bottom line. And until we have a general consensus and an understanding of that, then we have problems, because people are launching out into these diatribes and discussions, polarizing, balkanizing one another in their communities in ignorance, frankly. Anyway, I appreciate your call, Caesar, and I hope it doesn't last any longer. I think your observation is accurate. From within is where we need to look. Let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Renee in North Carolina. Renee, thanks for calling. Welcome. Do we have Renee?
Oh, there you are. Okay. You know, I thought back, and I never suspected the government. I just looked. This was 1995, Oklahoma City happened. At that time, I mean, I knew some, but not near what I know today. You know, I hadn't been sent through hell. And so the thing is, that happened in 1995, and so I was, like, busy, you know, kids and stuff like that. And so but I do remember, and it hit me when I started finding out more later, they brought these bomb trailers in, supposedly before they got hold of the narrative, I saw them on CNN. They brought in these bomb trailers that they use to haul away, to detonate in another place bombs, you know, safely. Well, gee, what's the next best thing? If you don't happen to have a bomb trailer with you, let's see, a heavy-duty metal dumpster. Now, if you're smart enough to make a bomb and you have the guts to go around placing it, why would you put it basically in a improvised bomb truck? You know, because it's basically what a dumpster is. I've heard most of them were in dumpsters or metal trash cans. And, you know, I hate being suspicious like this. I'm sure you and I would have a much lovelier day being able to talk about all the wonderful things that are going on in this country. And isn't this great? I know that's what I'd like to be doing and how it's turning around and everything. But the thing is, it's just not. And, you know, I think about, you know, those bombs that everybody's are in hysterics about. Those are practically like cherry bombs in comparison to the millions of tons of bombs we were dumping on people all across this world. If they're watching the news, they must be going, man, y'all are a bunch of wusses. You know, I mean, y'all, you know, compared to what they have to deal with on a daily basis, being blasted to hell and gone. You know, so... I just don't see things changing because so many people, unfortunately, from the cops to the judges to all the people involved in making weapons, you have so many people who, they're not being hurt by this. They're making a ton of money. So if you are the beneficiary of a lie, you ain't got no problem with it, believing the fairy tale, because you want to believe it and you want to take the money and take the easy road and not have to feel guilty and face the truth about what you really are. So the thing is, that is a huge problem to overcome because people will do all forms of rationalizations because they want to take that easy road, they want to take the money, and they don't want to feel guilty about it. So this is actually what the rulers kind of depend upon to get the people to go along, these people that they need. They're really order followers, you know, or the elite have no power without the order followers who want to believe the lie because they want to take the money and they don't want to see what they really are. And they want to take the easy way out. They want to take the well-traveled road instead of their bumpy, inclined road less traveled. So, you know, we have a huge problem, and, you know, I don't know. And actually, I think if people could stop this, you know, if the white football players were refusing to pledge because of Lavoy Finnegan, a lot of people in alt-right media would be all on board for that. You know, and the thing is, you know, there would be a peaceful way if we could stop all this divisiveness. What if the whole football stadium refused to stand? I tell you what, that would get their attention, and there would have to be no violence. You know, the thing is, if they realize, wait a minute, you know, if they realize that many people knew, but what happens every time? They only want to do it for their group. And I just don't see, unless we can stop that, and of which people involved in alt-right media are also guilty, because that little boy wanted justice and fairness for everyone, not just black people. So the thing is, until we can stop that and come together against our oppressor, you know, we need to quit fighting, you know, let's see, we're all slaves, okay? So it's kind of like, well, I ain't siding with you against the overseer because you're lighter than me. Well, I'm not siding with you against the overseer because you're darker than me. That's what's going on. The slaves are fighting amongst themselves. You see?
Exactly, and that's obviously what's supposed to happen, and you're absolutely right. And so the impetus to divide and conquer, balkanizing people, dividing people one against another, is coming from within, and we need to look to the to those elements that would seek to do that first. And these are not new concepts. You know, I mentioned Bernays's words, propaganda, 1928, whatever they are, depend upon acquiescent public opinion for the success of their efforts. And as he put it, in fact, government is only government by virtue of public acquiescence. But, and I like the way Garrett Coleman puts it in his dominating television interview last year. He said the only way in which political elites can continue to govern is through terror. And if we listen to the study by Martin Gillens and Benjamin Page, their 2014 study, after 20 years of research, America is an oligarchy. So only through terror, if you believe Garrett Coleman. And that brings us back to Andrew Jackson's words. The remedy, the power, however, is in your hands, and the remedy must and will be applied if you determine upon it. Is it still a representative form of government in America? As we'll be back for the final segment, more calls after this.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Like I said, you know, my idea is, I don't know, to circulate information in the communities and raise awareness. I think that would draw down the tensions and the insanity, the hysteria. It's my idea. Anyway, let's go back to the phones. Renee, I appreciate your call. Thanks, as always, for your sentiments. Let's grab Mike in Kentucky. Mike, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I don't think this guy has any reason to be just engaging in braggadocio, but probably my theory is what happened to him is that he got caught working for bookies, running numbers in a certain nearby state from where I'm at, and they was made to work for the FBI as a bag man to the informants in hundreds of mosques, and I would have never guessed that there was hundreds of mosques in this particular state in the southern area where he was living at and growing up at. As a 20-year-old fella, he's not lily white, you know, complected. I think he's actually part Native American. But anyway, this goes back to the 1958, 59 era for 2 or 3, 4 years that he did this. And so, multiply that out. They've been doing this for 60 years, watching these mosques with the networks of paid informants. How effective that might be back then, I don't know. But now they've got most everybody walking around with these voluntary ankle bracelets so they can profile and figure out who all's interacting with who and, you know, predict who might be approachable as a target to turn into a patsy or to be a leader of a cell or that sort of stuff to keep the empire growing and the funding growing. Because if you solve these problems, then after a while the money starts getting sent to other places politically. So I don't think there's any real motivation to do anything but grow the situations that we see, you know, continue the full spectrum dominance and keep things stirred up.
Yep.
You got to somehow Absolutely. Make people aware. You got to make people Absolutely. Aware of what's going on, that we're being played.
Yep.
And, played for schmucks.
Yeah. In smaller instances, on the scale anyway, last week I posted the New York Daily News story on the Road Warrior Radio Facebook page. We fabricated charges to meet quotas, said ex-cop, former New York, an NYPD narcotics detective, snared in a corruption scandal, testified it was common practice to fabricate drug charges against innocent people to meet arrest quotas. That's just, that's one example, but there was, you mentioned, the voluntary ankle bracelets and stuff. I'm reminded of the story. I think DARPA issued a, not an RFP, but...
Out of time.
whatever they're calling it, yeah. To create algorithms to identify those social minglings that you're talking about.
Your music drowns you out, by the way.
Well, duly noted. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks Alrighty. For your call, Mike, and for your sentiments. I wish we could unpack that. That'll do it for today's broadcast, folks. Mike's right. We need to raise awareness. Thanks to the callers. Thanks to you, the listener. Hope it was informative. As always, it's an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.